We're still over here, if you don't mind, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Amen? And we've been talking about everything in that verse, and right now we're on, he has given us what kind of a mind? Say a sound mind. Sound mind. That's what God's word says he's given to us. Now, why do you need a sound mind? There's some things that I want to read to you, if you don't mind, just three things that the Lord gave me. One of them is, if you don't mind, confusion. There is confusion like never before seen on planet Earth. Can I give you the definition of confusion? How many of you see confusion in the world? All right, listen to it. Because if you're not careful, it'll get over into your territory. Keep it out. Confusion means this, lack of understanding. It also means a state of being bewildered, unclear in one's mind about something. So if we have a sound mind, that won't have entrance to us. When the Bible says about the enemy, he talks about the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Gates refer to government, because all government was done at the gates of any city. Don't let the enemy come into your life and cause confusion, because he's not allowed. The gates don't belong to him. They belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, this is very interesting. I looked up the word culture, and it said this. A manifestation of human intellect. Whew. Achievements in a particular nation or people. So our nation is based on Christian morals. Understand that? It's based on Christianity. But understand, the world's view of that instead is, look what we've done. Look what we've done. Look what we've done. You understand that now? Don't let confusion step in. Don't let the culture step in. And the word deception, I've done to you so many times, it means, if you don't mind saying this, it's something that's opposite and contrary to God's word. We have to know God's word. Say, we have to know God's word. We have to renew our minds every day with the word. Now, we were over in Hebrews last week. If you don't mind, you can turn there or not. I'll just go ahead and read it. It's easier. It says this in Hebrews 4, 1 through 16. A couple of verses I'll pick out. This is referring to Israel. But the message they heard did not benefit them. The same thing applies to us. The word of God will not benefit us unless, look what took place, because they did not mix it with faith. You have to have faith and you have to have the word. And when you put the two together, something good's going to happen. How many of you ever made your own pizza? That's fun, isn't it? You have sauce over here. You got some cheese here and bread. But unless you do what? Put it all together. Am I right? Put it all together and make something that's called a pizza. It'll just be ingredients. I'm here to tell you that faith, when Jesus said, when I come back to earth, will I find faith? Faith is something you and I need to develop on a daily basis. The Bible says when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and he had to rebuke the storm, he said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? It was a little faith. They were still developing it, but their faith was small. Amen? But you and I have the word of God. Say the word of God. Powerful. Amen? And it can change your life and change my life. Listen to verse 15 to the end of that chapter. Listen, go out. We do have a high priest. Who's the high priest? Jesus. Who's unable to understand and sympathize. You have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation. But one who was tempted in every respect as we are without sinning. That's Jesus. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly. There's three words. Fearlessly, confidently, and boldly. Draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us as sinners, that we may receive mercy. Now listen, for our failures and find grace in help in good time. I like this in the Amplified parentheses. An appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. I gave you a definition, if you don't mind, of rest, because here in this chapter in Hebrews, it talks about rest, a God kind of rest, a Sabbath day's rest. Listen to the four things about rest, and we'll go a little bit further. Rest means freedom from anything that tires you, troubles you, or disturbs you. There is no lack of that going around this earth today. Amen? There are enough. Listen to the next one. It frees us from care, worry, and anxiety. Any of that floating around somewhere? Plenty of things that have that happen to you. It means to have peace, God's kind of peace. The Bible says peace that passes all understanding. And the last definition for rest is this, to rely, trust, and depend on someone else. I have found someone else, and his name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Now, if we understand God's rest, if we can understand God's rest, I want to give you a comparison, then take you to some scripture in the Old Testament. If we understand God's rest and how it fits into our life, we'll be able to wake in the morning and go to bed at night and know that Jesus Christ has been with us from beginning to the end, every single day. Now, just listen to this real quick. How can you know you've entered God's rest? How do you know when you've entered God's rest? Isn't it easy? Here we go now. You have God's perfect peace. When you've entered God's rest, what do you have? Perfect peace. Well, what happens if you don't understand rest and don't have it? You're full of anxiety and worry all the time. Whew. So what do we have when we have God's rest, Sabbath day's rest? Always have perfect peace. The Bible calls in Philippians, peace that passes all understanding, all right? Here's another one. You put your trust in a promise of God concerning your situation. You put your faith where? In the promises of God. In the promises of God, it says in Hebrews, are yea and amen. That means they've been established. It's over. It's done with. The promises are sure. They're not going anywhere. But if you don't have rest, listen, if you don't have rest, you doubt God's promises will really come to pass in your life. See, faith and doubt are opposite of one another. You either exercise faith or you exercise doubt. There's plenty of time to doubt something, but that's because you and I have to know, well, how you're doing it and when you're going to do it and how you're going to do it. That's none of our business. That's none of our business. Think about this. If you're a child growing up and mom or dad cooked the meal and they put it on the table, I never saw a kid ask, where'd you get it from? What store did you buy it from? All they want to know is there's something there for me to eat. Am I right? Glory to God. Understand that. Here's another one now. You are free from anything that troubles you. But if you don't have God's peace, you're overwhelmed by the circumstances. If we talk more about the circumstances than we, my God, if we talk more, that was the problem with, I see these things. That was the problem with Peter. As long as his focus was on Jesus, he wasn't going down. How many of you know when we keep our focus on Jesus, we're going to make it? But as soon as he looked at the circumstances, now, was he a fisherman? Had he ever been in a boat in the middle of a storm? Absolutely. This was nothing new to Peter. But for some reason, his mind became so troubled as he looked at the size of these waves and the storm raging. But as long as his eyes were where? Where? As long as our eyes stay right here, we're not going to sink. We're not going to go down. Understand? And then when he, my God, when he began to sink, what happens? Jesus comes, reaches out his hand, and pulls him into the boat. Amen? Now, all the doubt in the world was still in the boat. They said, what's wrong with you? But when he got into the boat, Jesus spoke to him and said, Peter, just keep your eyes on me. Don't ever take your eyes off me. How many times have you said a prayer and haven't seen it come to pass? It's already come to pass. I'm going to keep doing that until everybody gets it. Every promise, say every promise, has already been fulfilled. See, if you have a problem with your finances, God doesn't have a problem with your finances. There's no shortage or no lack in heaven when it comes to finances. Remember what I said? The currency of heaven is what? It's faith. Guess what the currency down here on earth is? Not the dollar. It's faith in God. Is God short of anything you and I need? But don't doubt when a letter comes in the mail saying you owe this. Don't let doubt come when they say, oh, we didn't get your check, and if you don't pay this, we're going to cut off your utility. Don't let that come up and scare you. You're confident in God's work on your behalf, even if you don't see anything happening. Can I say that again? We're confident in God's work, even when we what? Yes. Remember I talked about Jesus when he was going into the garden to pray, and he had to go a little bit further. Remember that? Because there's seasons of what? Seasons of disappointment. Remember that? There are seasons because God knew his son was facing the worst death possible, but yet he got into the presence of God, and out of his mouth came this. He said, my God. He said, if this cup could pass, and then comma, nevertheless. He knew what was going to take place. dying on the cross of Calvary was the worst of all kinds of death known in the world where Jesus lived then. The Romans were beasts. And look what happened to his body. But the whole time, guess what? He was in God's perfect plan. When it seems like you're up against the wall, it seems like everything is closing in on you, understand that Jesus Christ knows you. He's with you. Amen. Remember the disciples in prison? They locked them up, chained them to the wall, and the next day they were going to die. They knew that. So what did they do? They began to praise God at the midnight hour. Say the midnight hour. And what happened? An earthquake showed up. See, when you praise and worship God, earthquakes start happening. It's the enemy that's trembling. The Bible says he trembles at the sound of that name. Now listen, all of a sudden the angels came. They're still chained, but the chains fell off of them. Other prisoners were set free also. But when they came to the gates, they were what? Still locked. Well, why didn't God allow the earthquakes to open up the gates? I don't know. But an angel came and just popped those things open. And then the jailer came and his whole house got saved. You see, when God begins to shake planet Earth, he begins to shake the United States of America. Don't worry about governments. The only government that matters is the government of Jesus Christ. Always remember, whatever goes on around us that man has created, God is greater than any man. I'm telling you, keep your eyes only on Jesus. Amen? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now listen to me. Wow. When you don't see results, you become discouraged. Amen? Now, something the Lord in our sharing this week with my wife, I ran across two things. If I can share two of them with you quickly, I read a little. I have a number of devotionals, but this was by a man named, my God, I love to listen to him. Listen what he said. This: take your problems to Jesus. Listen now, take your problems not to the bar. Don't take it to Jim Beam. Don't take your problems out on others. Temper tantrums never advance the cause. The moment you sense a problem, however big or small, take it to Christ. Now, here's what he says after that. Max, this is Max Licato. Max, if I take my problems to Jesus every time I have one, I'm going to be talking to Jesus all day long. He says, now you're getting the idea. See, that's the whole thing. Give them to Jesus and talk about that. Amen? Now, the last part of this it's powerful. Listen. An unprayed-for problem is an embedded thorn. It festers and infects, first the finger, then the hand, then the entire arm. Best to go straight to the person who has the tweezers. Jesus can take care of you. He knows about thorns. When I read that, I said, oh my God, that's it. Remember I preached out of 2 Chronicles? If you don't know what to do, you better know where to go. And the only place you and I can ever go to is the place where Jesus Christ is. And I got news for you. He's on the inside of you and me. Amen? Now, I'm going to end up with some scripture out of Psalm 105, out of the Passion Version, if you don't mind. Because if we're going to have rest, we have to understand that God has everything under his control. Everything. Everything. I'm saying everything is under his control. Everything. Now, listen to this. Just a couple of scriptures. This is Psalm 105. Go ahead and give God thanks, all for the glorious things he has done. See, he's already done. Go ahead and worship him. That's what we were doing before. Tell everyone about his wonders. Let's sing his praises. Sing. Put all his miracles to music. Don't forget, when you remember a miracle, you remember a supernatural thing, you build a monument. The Bible says, never forget, always, always remember. Say, always remember. Shine, make your joyful boast in him, you lovers of God. Let's be happy and keep rejoicing no matter what. Seek more of his strength. Seek more of him. Let's always be seeking the light of his face. Don't you ever forget his miracles and marvels. Hold to your heart every judgment he's decreed. Listen, and though 1,000 generations may pass away, he is still true to his word. I said 1,000 generations. He's kept every promise he's made to Abraham and to Isaac. His promises have become an everlasting covenant to Jacob. Wow, listen. They were wandering from one land to another, from one kingdom to another. wandering around, and God did not permit one of them, wow, not one of them, to be punished by any kings that came against them. Remember Israel, as they walked through the wilderness, one of the great miracles to me is their shoes never wore out. 40 years. The day you buy your son or daughter a pair of sneakers, and the next day they have a hole in it. Amen? The material's not made out of the way it used to be made. He kept those shoes on their feet, and it never, ever, ever wore out. Well, I got to buy a new refrigerator. I got to buy a new this. Lay hands on it. I've done that before. I did that at camp once where the refrigerator didn't work, and they all gathered around this refrigerator, and they started praying that God would allow it to be fixed. They didn't have any money. So I started praying, and the Holy Spirit told me, see if it's plugged in. Never forget this. Camp Malaga down in New Jersey. So I walked around the back and plugged it in. They start dancing, hallelujah, glory to God. He's restored our refrigerator. I never told them. I didn't have the heart to tell them, amen. See, the Holy Ghost will give you wisdom, amen. Listen now. God decreed a famine upon Canaan land, cutting off their food out of 105. It's powerful. But he had already sent a man ahead of his people to Egypt. Who was it? Joseph. What happened with Joseph? His brothers beat him up. Did what? Threw him into a pit. He was sold into slavery. And he becomes somebody who's second in command to the top dog. And God sent him ahead to prepare. See, God's way out in front of all of us. Remember the prophet, his servant came and said, we're surrounded. What are we going to do? We don't have a chance. And listen now. The prophet said, hey, God, open his eyes so we can see what I see. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll see things other people can't see. It's to let you know that Jesus doesn't quit on you. He'll never give up on you. He loves you and appreciates you, and he wants you to enter his rest. Say his rest. How many of you know our rest doesn't work? Say his rest. Wow. The shoes didn't wear out. Remember when God spoke to Moses to do what? Strike a rock. Did he? How many millions of people were there? Israel, about 3 million plus. And it was like a river flowed out of a rock. Now don't go home and hit a rock and say, God, nothing happened. That was God's instruction to him. The next time, what did God tell Moses to do? Speak to the rock. Right. Hitting it was hard enough. Speak. The Lord wants us to speak to those things that are not as though they were. When you speak, Jesus said, say unto this mountain, be removed. See, you and I have to encourage ourselves with the word. That's why I'm reading a few scriptures here, if you don't mind, over in 105 of, wow, 105 of, I'm getting the Holy Ghost all over me, 105 of Psalms. It's powerful because it brings us to a place where we're remembering the things that God has done. Say, God has already done them. Already finished, already done. And if they're already done, guess what? They're available to you and I. Listen, Joseph was put in charge of everything under the king. He became the master of the palace over all the royal possessions. Pharaoh gave him authority over the princes of the land. Joseph became the teacher of wisdom to the kings. Wow, why? Because God had a plan. Long before a famine was decreed, guess what happened? God had a plan. God has a plan for you and I. Long before we get to that day or the next day or the next day, he's got a plan. And if we'll have our faith and put our trust in him, God will meet us. God will bring supernatural rest into your life and my life. If you have a sound mind according to the word of God, two things and I'll stop. First thing about the sound mind is it's teachable. You and I have to remain teachable every day, and the only book we have to go by teaching is the precious word of God. See, the word of God is logos, but when you begin to act on it by faith, it becomes rhema. See, information's not enough. We need information to become revelation to us. We've got to have the revelation of God every single day. Say every single day. Here's another thing about a sound mind. It's controlled. A sound mind is controlled. Listen to the word of God here in 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. Listen to it in the Amplified. Brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert, set your hope holy and unchangeable on the grace, divine favor that's coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a porch that they're working on? And maybe it's, I think about a double family, two family, and they put these long pieces of wood to hold it up. They brace it up so they can work on it. The Word of God will brace up our minds so we're able to take on the challenge, take on anything that comes our way, because God is true to His Word. He's true to His Word. He will never let us go. My God. Listen to this now, the 19th verse. God's promise to Joseph purged his character until it was time for his dreams to come true. Well, how long did it take? A long time. I got news for you. If you're bound by fear, if you're bound by something in this world, God will take those chains off of you by when you start praising and worshiping God, something supernatural happens. I said something supernatural happened. I said something supernatural happened. See, that's how it happened. It's that's how it happened. Let God speak to you. Let God open your wallet up to touch other people's lives. Let God open up your heart to help other people. Maybe you're like a Joseph. Boy, all he was doing is he had a nice dream and he winds up in prison. Are you hearing me? And every time, go tell, I can answer that. No. Nothing happened because the time wasn't ready. But when the time was ready, God was ready and Joseph was ready. Amen. Don't let the circumstances crowd you in and cause you to doubt God's word. It's true every single day. Every single day. Amen. How many of you want God's rest? Grab a hold of the word. Read Psalm 105 when you go home today, whatever version you want, and let the Spirit of God minister to you. The things that seem impossible in the natural, God has already done it for you. Just don't try to figure it out. It's that simple. It's that simple. Holy Ghost just said something to me. Tell your problems to rest in peace. Tell your problems to rest in peace. And next week I'm going to talk more about who we are in Christ, but here's what the Lord said, and I'll leave it till next time. Too many of us as believers are trying to live our lives out of what we used to be, instead of who we are. And the reason that happens is because many believers don't know who they are. We're living off of something that doesn't exist anymore. When you and I realize who we are in Christ Jesus, when we realize who we are in Christ Jesus, we'll never look back and think about how you used to do it, or it used to be this way. All the used to be's don't matter. It's not the same anymore. I wish I was back when in the 50s. It was a lot simpler. I can't change that anymore. I think I mentioned it on Wednesday night to my father. My God, my father would go around and kick all the tires on any car. And I'd always ask him, why are you kicking the tires? He said, don't ask me. He never told me why. I still don't know. And every car he ever wanted to buy, he'd go in and with his hat on now, and if he couldn't get in the car with his hat on, it was off. Today, you're lucky if you get your head in, let alone forget about wearing a hat. But those days are gone. You don't walk around kicking the tires on a car. Today, what do? And they drop it off at your house. You understand? There's even a commercial about that. Everything changes around us. It's going to continue to change. But the Bible says this, and I close with this. Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's got you covered today. He's got you covered tomorrow. Everything's under his control. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise.